Thank you, Mr. Braun, and happy third day of the feast, brethren. Well, some time ago, in preparation for the feast, I was reading over a few scriptures, and I read one that I think we often hear this time of year, but this time it made me a little bit anxious. Actually, it's a rather encouraging scripture, but as often happens, it led me to another verse and then to another. And soon I started to have some concerns. So let's just go there and see what you think about this. If you turn over to Zechariah 14 and verse 16. Zechariah 14, 16. You're probably already familiar with these verses. Zechariah says, "It shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." So Zechariah takes us into the far future, maybe actually the near future, describing the time that's past the tribulation and Christ has already returned. Now we have to speculate, but it's probably toward the beginning of the first few years of the millennium, the very time that we're here to observe. The destruction and the sorrow of our current present age has already passed. And some of those people from all the nations that actually fought against Christ after Christ's return, they're left alive. And what are they doing? Well, just like we did a few days ago, they're traveling to the feast. But then we come to verse 17. "And it shall be that whichever families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain. If the family of Egypt will not come up and enter in, they shall have no rain. And they shall receive the plague with which the Lord strikes the nations who do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." And verse 19, "This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." So we see a time, hopefully it's only a very brief period, in which the Egyptians apparently are not cooperating. And if some remain stubborn, then God shows that there's going to be consequences until they eventually see the need to keep God's righteous laws, which are for their good as well as ours. Now turn to the other scripture that set me to worrying a little bit. It's in Isaiah chapter 19. Isaiah 19, and I'll read 24 and 25. Isaiah 19, verse 24. And we're breaking into, again, the millennial period. And I'm going to read these two verses in the New International Version. Isaiah 19, 24. "In that day, Israel will be the third, along with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing on the earth. The Lord Almighty will bless them, saying, 'Blessed be Egypt, my people, Assyria, my handiwork, and Israel, my inheritance.'" So again, Isaiah is now describing a further time into the millennium. Now just a moment ago, we saw that some of the families of Egypt might not keep this wonderful feast, at least not initially. But here not only does God speak of the Egyptians in positive terms, but also the Assyrians. The Egyptians and the Assyrians were both ancient enemies of God's people, but here they're described as being blessed. They'll all be God's people. And so we have to conclude that they'll all be obeying God. And if they're obeying, that means they've gotten the message from Zechariah 14 that we read a moment ago. And that means they're probably also keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. So the Egyptians and the modern Assyrians, but probably by that time, hopefully, every other nation on earth will be observing this great Feast of Tabernacles. So have any concerns come to your mind? Well, if not, let me just give the title to this sermonette: Prepare to be a Feast Coordinator. Now, when these verses that we've just read are fulfilled, God is going to need lots of feast coordinators. In fact, all of us here today may someday find ourselves managing a Feast of Tabernacles during the millennium. Are you ready? Do you think you could take the job on of organizing and managing an entire feast during the millennium? So let me just spend a few minutes considering some of the challenges that might lie ahead in preparing for and conducting the Feast of Tabernacles during that 1,000-year period. And also, what can we do today to prepare ourselves to take on the role of feast coordinator in God's kingdom? Okay, consider this. Right now on the earth, there's probably only a few score of men, at the most maybe a few hundred, that have firsthand experience on how to manage and coordinate a feast. And certainly in our midst, we have a few. Mr. Martin, of course, Mr. Shaby and Mr. McCoy have also coordinated feasts. And there's another man here, Mr. Ryan Hall, who's right now an assistant in training here in Jekyll Island. And he's actively acquiring the knowledge and the skills to coordinate a feast sometime in his future. But in the coming millennium, that number will not be enough. We're going to need lots of feast coordinators. Just off the top of your head, how many do you think we might need? Well, when the time comes that all people are keeping the feast, there'll be a need for feast sites, obviously, all across the globe, possibly in every nation. There may be several, as we do have in the U.S. Now, the human population of the earth today is about 7.6 billion people. If the population early in the millennium is just one-tenth of the current population of the earth, we know that tribulation will probably whittle that number down some, that would still leave over 700 million people. And of course, there could be quite a bit more. But I'll just keep it at that hypothetically manageable number, just 10%. So 700 million people will have begun to learn God's ways. How many feast sites will be needed? And correspondingly, how many feast coordinators? Now, Mr. McNeely spoke a few days ago about some past feast sites that had thousands of brethren in attendance. In our most recent years, it's generally been much less than that. But think about this. If an average millennial feast site had an attendance of 10,000 people, how many feast sites do you think that would translate to? Well, if you don't have your calculator handy, the answer is 70,000. Yes, you heard right. 70,000 feast sites might be required, each having an average attendance of 10,000, all gathered to obey and to rejoice with God. And that's a pretty staggering number. So how will God establish and manage over 70,000 feast sites? Well, we just read in what God said in Zechariah, all nations will eventually come up to keep the feast. So logistically, how is that going to be possible? Well, to start with, I think we have to remember what Christ said in Matthew 19:26. You don't need to turn there. He says, with God, all things are possible. So if God will need 70,000 feast sites, he'll probably also need 70,000 feast coordinators. And if we follow that to a logical conclusion, God may need all of us here today to someday be involved in managing his global feast sites. After all, in what era in the Bible do we see, or what history do we have of the church in which an era has more experience in keeping the feast than we here do today? So that means that all of us, not just the ministers and the elders, but everyone should start giving thought and preparing to manage a feast site. Now, if you ponder this a little bit, you'll probably start to think of a few challenges that may present themselves. So let's quickly look at some of the responsibilities that a millennial feast coordinator might be faced with. Now, for a start, where will these feasts be located? Now, possibly God himself will identify and select the sites, but he also may select members of his family to scout out places on the earth that are ideal locations for the feast. Now remember, as we're told in Isaiah elsewhere, that much of the surface of the earth will have been recontoured to accommodate the population explosion that will take place during the 1,000 years. How about auditoriums? We have a wonderful hall here in Jekyll. Will feast sites of the future need huge auditoriums that that can seat 10,000 people or more? Well, they might. But maybe some of those feast sites can be held, or the assemblies can be held outside. After all, God can ensure that we have perfect weather during those feast services. How about sound systems? We'll need some powerful acoustics for such large crowds, won't we? Especially if they're held outside. We have brethren here who are experts in electronics and multimedia, things that we consider essential to having a successful feast. But on the other hand, if some of those speakers that will be presenting messages at the feast are all members of God's family, then perhaps they'll be able to project their voice to the extent that we won't need those systems. How about housing? How would you handle temporary housing for such huge crowds? Now, many of us here have camped at the feast. Possibly it would take some getting used to, but again, God is able to arrange for perfect weather during the feast. If people do camp, there'll be a lot of preparations for those feasts, for those sites that need to be made ready. Now, we can go on and on speculating about the need for transportation infrastructure, how to handle food and eating, preparing for activities and recreation, etc., etc. As Mr. Martin knows, there's a long list of other areas that have to be carefully handled to make Millennial Feast the kind of uplifting experience that we have here in Jekyll Island and elsewhere. There might even need to be a large-scale counseling sessions held at the feast. When those new feastgoers have listened to the deeply moving sermons by members of God's family, many of them may be drawn to be baptized at the feast. So there'll be a lot of details to be handled for a successful feast, probably a whole lot more than we have today. But future feast coordinators will operate with those same principles on which our feasts are based. What are those principles? Well, here's three that come to mind. First, at the feast, we're here to learn to love God. God gives us these feasts so we can learn to love Him. And everything at the feast is focused on that principle. The second one, rejoice. God wants us to come before Him to rejoice, to recognize and to thank Him for the tremendous blessings that He pours out on His people, both physical as well as spiritual. A third principle is that this feast is temporary. The theme of the feast is that it's temporary. In fact, our life is temporary. We're dwelling in temporary shelters while we're here. And our very lives, as we know, are temporary. We look forward to the spiritual and the permanent. And certainly a full sermon could be drawn from each of those. Well, there you have it. The coordination of Millennial Feasts will be a huge job. And God is going to need sons and daughters that He can count on to manage those feasts. So, brethren, how do we prepare now? Well, first, I would suggest don't inundate Mr. Martin with questions about the feast. Don't ask for a personal briefing on all his feast responsibilities. But as you see Mr. Martin and those that are serving with him going about their responsibilities, take note of what has to be accomplished for us to have an uplifting feast here in Jekyll. And give some thought to the cooperation that you'll want from the brethren that gather at your future feast sites. And make sure that we're exhibiting that same kind of cooperation now. And lastly, any experience that we could gain now as a volunteer will certainly pay off in the future when we're called by Jesus Christ to coordinate a Millennial Feast site. So as you're able, volunteer when you hear announcements asking for help. And certainly in the future, consider volunteering at another feast site that you may attend. So, brethren, God will need perhaps thousands of feast sites to accommodate the human beings that live into and that are born during the millennium. He'll need faithful sons and daughters that He can count on to manage His feast. Maybe one of the first jobs that you'll have as a spirit member of His family will be as a feast coordinator of a brand new feast site. A feast site where thousands will come, all wanting to newly learn about God and His ways. So, brethren, have a very enjoyable and edifying Feast of Tabernacles while we're here in Jekyll Island. But while you're here, give thought to what you'll be doing in the future as a feast coordinator in the millennium.